Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Sexy Real Estate Recruiting Podcast. I am your host, co-host, and the ambassador of Flow, Dr. Ben Spears. I'm here with my co-host, as always, on this beautiful, rainy, nasty. It's filling my pool up, though.
That's right. The cheap way.
Matt Vai, how's it going, Matt?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Just another day in paradise, even with the rain, right?
It's just, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a pretty cool topic today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love this one, right? It's something that, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with, and myself included, honestly.
Yeah,
I agree. But this is something that I work really hard to implement.
Right. And we'll talk a little bit about Scrum, right? Because Scrum is kind of how you keep it arranged and moving, right? We'll get into that in just a minute. But first, what we're going to talk about is time blocking when you're recruiting. That's what we're actually going to dig into today. Here's the key thing. Like a to-do list or a checklist is what you're going to do when you're recruiting. And time blocking is actually when you're going to do it, right?
Yep, exactly. And guys, before we dive into this topic, as always, you know, wherever you're listening to the podcast, make sure that, you know, you hit that follow button, you hit that subscribe button. Let us know that you like our content. More of this. And we love doing it, obviously. Also, this is a good time too. While you're listening to this, go to prospectboomerang.com. Sign up for a free account. It's just a green sign up button at the top right of the screen. Once you're there, click on groups and join our free recruiting mastermind. It's where we dive into topics just like this. But instead of, you know, in 25, 30 minutes, you know, we go a little bit deeper with people who, you know, bring questions and want more from Matt and I's brain. More Matt than mine.
They're just plucking it straight out of there, right?
Exactly. So Matt, my kids play with blocks. You know, why should adults?
Right. This is completely different than that. This one won't, if you use this one, it won't hurt your foot when you step on it.
Oh yeah. Tell me about it. Right. It's the worst pain in the world.
It is, right. It seems to go straight through your bones. Yeah. But, so there's two reasons why time blocking works. And we're going to talk in just a second about how to time block. Okay. So, but first let's talk about why it works. Right. So we get distracted, right? We've talked about this before a bunch of times. We live in a culture of content convenience, right? Yep. So we have the ability of looking at and doing whatever we want. And unfortunately, these days, when we get distracted, we actually get rewarded, right? I don't think it's been that way in the past. But in the past, you know, when you were at work and you got distracted, you didn't really get rewarded. You know, you kind of had to hide and fake it and act like you were doing something else just to get a mental break for just a minute, right? Now you just pick up your smartphone and you start flipping through Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or YouTube videos or whatever it is, and you get that dopamine hit. You know what I'm saying? You get that rush. So before being distracted, you didn't really get rewarded. Now when you're distracted at work, you actually get rewarded.
Yeah, I was this is slightly relevant, but I listened to a stand-up comedian one time, and he's like, do you remember waking up one day and just being like, I wonder when Tom Petty's birthday is?
Oh yeah.
And he said, you know, you would just like go to the store, walk down the street, go to the post office and just ask people, do you have any idea when Tom Petty's birthday is? Yeah. He's like, now within a millisecond, you could know anything that you want.
Absolutely.
That's how easy to get distracted. Yeah,
it is. It makes us feel brilliant, right? But the unfortunate part is, you know, it pulls us away from those things that we need to do when we need to do them. And again, this can't be overstated, right? We actually get rewarded for being distracted, unlike we have in the past. That's exactly why time blocking is so important, right? So there's actually a term for this, and it's best displayed in dogs. Okay, there's something called predatory drift, right? Everybody's heard the old saying before, you know, a shiny object, right, or squirrel, right? And all of a sudden we just take off in a different direction and go on a tangent. I know I do it all the time in my conversations, right? Oh, yeah. So there's something called predatory drift. And what predatory drift is an animal is focused on something until they see something that snaps them out of their focus and automatically draws 100% of their attention. Okay. Yeah. Now, predatory drift isn't just for predators. Okay. Predatory drift is also for prey, but it's primarily seen in predators. And the way that it's best displayed and how it gets talked about the most is in dogs, right? So you go to the dog park, Fluffy is a really great dog. You walk into the dog park and all of a sudden Fluffy turns into this completely different animal that's running around in the pack and nipping at things and beating up on some other dog just because somebody barked at it. And all of a sudden Fluffy's not acting the way that it should. And yeah. The reason why is because it gets snapped out of what it's focused on. And it's automatically pushed into almost a knee-jerk reaction on something else that it probably shouldn't be working on, right? Fluffy should be doing what he's supposed to be doing, what she's supposed to be doing, but instead gets drawn into this other arena that keeps her from acting or behaving the way that she's supposed to. That's predatory drift. Well, what happens now with our smartphones and dopamine and that hit of excitement and adrenaline and all that kind of stuff when we get distracted, that's the same thing that's happening to us now. Whenever we're at work and we're in the middle of doing what we're supposed to, and our notification on our email goes off, or our notification on Facebook goes off, or our notification on something else dings and chimes and reminds us it's time to go look at something else that you might want to look at. That's where time blocking comes in.
Yeah.
If you're time blocking, when those other notifications happen, you know, if you're doing time blocking properly, first of all, those things won't happen during that time, but that's a whole different conversation. We'll do another podcast on that, I promise. But if you're time blocking, it doesn't matter if that notification goes off. It doesn't matter if that shiny object happens or that squirrel runs by. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to stay focused on that one thing for a very short period of time. You don't time block for 12 hours at a time, maybe 45 minutes, and you're going to stay focused on that one thing. If you time block for recruiting on a regular basis, you're going to have exponentially different results, but you have to be able to turn everything else off, set it aside on a consistent basis, and not allow predatory drift to get you distracted.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people are, because I want to ask you this question. You're familiar with it. So, and a lot of people are familiar with Tony Robbins.
Yep.
Right. You know, Tony Robbins started out by doing linguistic programming.
Right.
And, you know, later, you know, added to that, branched onto it, basically took the best of what he could find and you know, implemented just a library of solutions, let's say.
Right.
Now, NLP is very much a break your pattern, right? Right. Break thought process. Is this predatory drift? Is this similar? Or is this, you know, is it different because of the intention? Or I guess, can there be a good thing like Tony's doing? Or is it all just like, no, you just need to stay focused on what you're focused on? Like,
yeah. So you're labeling what is biochemically happening in your brain. NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, right? So,
yep.
So that's actually not just happening on a level of just words and voice tone and stuff like that. That's happening that your brain has been programmed a certain way. Right.
Gotcha.
And so absolutely you can reprogram your brain. Absolutely. You can change how you take in these things so that you have different responses with them. Predatory drift is just a very natural, a natural occurrence. That's a way of labeling why, what is happening when NLP kicks in.
Okay gotcha.
Yep. So both of them are absolutely positively related. The difference between predatory drift in humans and in animals, and in animals, it's innate. In humans, it's learned.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that's where the NLP comes in. Do you want to reprogram what it is that you've learned? That's where NLP would help out tremendously in making sure that drift is not happening the way that it just naturally happens when the phones and the notifications and all that kind of stuff. Because when we were born, an email notification didn't mean shit to us.
Yeah.
Didn't mean anything, right?
I think you were born to have that email notifications actually meant something to you.
Me probably. But dogs always want to chase a squirrel from the time they're born, right? So
yeah.
So that's the difference in the NLP and the predatory drift. One is kind of the innate one, right? That's the one that's happening to us automatically. NLP is what causes us to have these type of symptoms as we've started to accomplish certain things in our life. We've learned in order to accomplish, and those things that we've learned have consequences. And that's where the predatory drift comes in, right?
Yeah.
So does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. I like blues music. A lot of people don't know, don't know about the blues, but I like music. I was listening to Buddy Guy, one of my favorite guitarists, and he sang a song, and this is all about you, man. I'm just thinking, he said the first lyric says, I'll change it to Georgia or something like that. But he said, I was born in Louisiana at the age of 2. And I thought to myself, I was like, that's Matt, but like 20.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah, if we could get some reprogramming done here. So if anybody out there is a psychologist and you want to switch, you want to do some recruiting, and you think you can fix what's broken here,
Matt was definitely give us a call. And Matt was definitely an adult from day one.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing, right? Time blocking is a good thing because, we can – it forces us to start one place. It forces us to end. It forces us to stay, on track, on focus, on point. And because, again, I'm trying to drive this negative, because a lot of people will always say, oh, yeah, of course you're going to get more done. Like, if you plan out every 15 minutes or every hour. But it's so hard. It's so hard to get people to do it. And as a broker, it's nearly impossible sometimes, right, to say, I got 6 people lined up out my door asking me like, hey, you got a minute? You got a minute? You got a minute? Right. And you're retention minded. You want to take those.
That's right. Yep.
But absolutely. So how do you combat that? How can we tell everyone out there? And, or maybe this is coming on later. You have to time block, but then also say, take care of your agents at the same time.
Hey guys, this podcast is powered by Prospect Boomerang.
We all know broker owners struggle with profitability. Prospect Boomerang compounds your profits by recruiting the best agents to your brokerage.
For consistent growth, visit prospectboomerang.com.
Yeah. So we're gonna touch on a little bit of that in just a second. On the how to do it. Okay.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Before we do that, let me talk about one more reason why it works. Okay.
And then we'll get into the
how, because absolutely people listening want to hear what you just said more than the why it works, which is what I'm talking about right now. But both of those things work in tandem. It'll be easy to start something and then not really understand why you need to continue it if you haven't rolled up your sleeves of the why. Okay.
Yeah, completely. So
the second one we've already kind of touched on in a way, but we need to dig in a little bit deeper to it, right? So if notifications give us that hit of dopamine, right? If looking at our phone gives us that energy boost, and if it gives us that excitement level. What's happening is we're doing something and chemically we're getting rewarded for it.
Okay? Right.
So what we have to do instead is we have to find a way of chemically rewarding ourselves for doing what we're supposed to with time blocking. Okay. And the way that we do that is we cut this into small victories, especially to begin with. Okay. So this is the second thing of why we do time blocking. If you cut things into small victories, what will happen is you will reprogram yourself to want to get things accomplished in a different way, especially when it comes to recruiting, because that's what we care about, right? There's a bunch of other things that this could help you with. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about absolutely positively recruiting and having more compounded success, right?
Gotcha.
So it gives you a reward for doing something that we know we should be doing, but often we don't get acknowledged for doing. Right. So if what you need to do is you need to make connections with people that you know have shown some interest in your company and all that kind of stuff, it might take 5, 6, 12, 15, 20 of those different things or those different interactions in order to hire someone. We don't get rewarded for 12, 14, 15, 18, 19 of those things. We only get rewarded for number 20. And so what we have to learn how to do is take time blocking and have it as being part of our reward for the small victories that we have. So what I mean by that is, if you know that you're going to have to talk to somebody 15 times as an example, each of those times, when you do something from a time blocking standpoint and you finish, you will feel accomplished. especially if you take some kind of break afterwards and you go back and you get those hits of excitement and adrenaline because you're going back and checking those notifications. I set time aside. I spent 45 minutes doing what I needed to do. At the end of that 45 minutes, I'm going to go in and I'm going to check my Facebook, or I'm going to look at my Instagram, or I'm going to, you know, go play Words with Friends or whatever it is that makes my boat float, right?
Ground.
Those are the things that I'm going to, those are the things that I'm going to do. After I do that, that becomes the reward for getting those things done. I'm more likely to do number 11, 12, 13, and 14 so that I get to number 15 where I get that higher. So it's about small victories, and it's about reprogramming what you consider to be success. That's why you time block.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody gets caught up in, I think everyone thinks too much of their successes, meaning they have to be big to actually be a victory. So
I can't agree anymore
with what you're saying. And sometimes it's just, my son Marshall, he's a golfer, and we'll practice putting, and I just tell him, it doesn't matter if it goes in, if you put a good stroke on it.
Right. Yep.
And I think that's where, from a recruiting standpoint, of course, we want, productivity, and we want our brokers to grow. But gosh, sometimes the victory is making the call. Sometimes the victory is, sending the letter.
Yeah. So get this. So this happened over the weekend. I had one of the managers that we work with. He's using something that we do with our open house protocol, right? He was using that, and he reached out to somebody, and they were in an open house when he reached out to them. And said, hey, here's something that would really help you out and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Person responded back and said, oh my gosh, this is so helpful. I'm actually in an open house right now. No one has showed up. And just by looking at this, I can tell why no one showed up. This was so helpful. Thank you. And so his response back was, well, I'd love to sit down and show you how to this, that, and the other. Right. I'd love to show you how to take it that one step farther. So leading with that value made all the difference in the world. That was him just taking a minute to do something that was the right thing to do that led to it. Now, he's contacted them and connected with them on a bunch of other things that were scheduled time, but he knew he was getting close. And so him reaching out on this one just happened to hit the nail on the head because he set time aside to do it. He actually, he's really big on the weekends. He spends about an hour on Saturday and about an hour on Sunday reaching out to people. He finds that there's just a better response time because a lot of them are exactly where we just talked about, doing open houses and in between showings and stuff like that. So that was him setting that time aside and getting those small wins, which that was really killer of Terry to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, small wins lead to huge victories.
Absolutely. So how do you time block, right? So we're not going to talk. So remember, we touch on tactical and technical all the time, right? So what we're going to talk about is right now is a very tactical way of looking at how you time block. Okay. A technical way means we're actually going to introduce some technology into it and stuff like that. Like I said, I promise we'll talk about that, what your options are with some of that in a different podcast. Okay. So number one is you got to know what's important to your scoreboard. Okay. Yep. So what is it that you're measuring by, right? How many calls does it take to get an appointment? How many, how many lead magnets are you using in order to get an appointment? How many people that you have, an appointment with are actually opening up the things that you're sending before they get to the appointment? How many interviews does it take in order to get a hire? All of those things, you need to know what those numbers add up to for you to feel like a success. If you're time blocking and you haven't figured out what those things are, like we talked about just a second ago, you're not going to know what your small wins are. Literally, a win is making the connections today that you were supposed to. A win today is literally following up with the person that asked about something yesterday or over the weekend or last Tuesday or whenever it was, and you said you would follow up. All of those things add up. The only way that's going to happen is if you know what it is that puts marks on your scoreboard. So you got to know that. You got to absolutely know that first.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with the actual activities that you do as well.
Yeah, it does.
Right. So we know what we're tracking. We talk a lot about personalities, obviously. And this is where, knowing the activities is going to be crucial, because if Matt lists, okay, well, here are my five top activities.
Right.
Matt says, here are my activities. He can't just copy activities, right? Like what activities are best for you?
Right. That, and you have to know those too, right? You got to know what they are. You got to know why they're good. And some people are just better on the phone than other people. Let me give you a great example. I'm a huge fan of handwritten notes. If you've ever received a handwritten note from me, it looks like I dipped a chicken foot in ink and slapped it all over the paper. My handwriting is absolutely terrible. If somebody has beautiful handwriting, then handwritten notes might be an activity that helps you move the needle a little bit more because you do have great handwriting, right? Because you are extremely in tune with grammar and you love vocabulary and naturally you're just a writer. Then absolutely you might want to write a letter, right? Instead of a handwritten note. If that's what you feel like you're good at that helps you move the needle. So know what your recruiting activities are that are going to move the needle, that are going to put things up on the scoreboard. And once you have an idea of that, you can block a certain amount of time for those. Like, is it Monday morning that you write your letters and you're writing 10 letters to people that did co-op transactions last month with you, right? Yeah. That's the type of activities and the type of things that you're good at that you prioritize. That if you do that, you know, the first Monday of the month, you're going to end up having better results from that. And it's just because you time block 45 minutes to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And by time blocking, you'll be able to do, you know, so many more and put the focus down. Like, guys, I've been on the phone with Matt where he's writing handwritten cards and like he starts ripping them up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'll start writing what I'm talking to Ben about in the card.
And so, that'll save you some time blocking will save you some cards. Right. Well,
that's right. And if you haven't listened to our podcast on multitasking, you need to listen to that one too, because that one's a good one of why you shouldn't be doing that. But So next one, right? We got to take account of some stuff, right?
Yep, exactly. So this is you know we know what we want to track. We know what activities you know we're tracking. You know, now let's really talk about, because it's called time blocking. Let's talk about how much time it actually takes, you know, to do these tasks.
Right. So the first thing that people should do is just for a week or two, just jot down how much time you actually spend on recruiting for a week or two and see how much time you're spending when it's not an organized, structured time. Yep. I promise you. The time that you're doing a little bit of something, stopping that, plugging a little bit of recruiting in, getting interrupted, starting back over, getting interrupted, finally finishing it. If you time block, you're going to be able to do exponentially more in that block of time. And it's going to be a better quality because you don't have that predatory drift we were talking about earlier, right? You're not automatically having to go out of a conversation with one person and come back into a conversation with another person and get restructured in your head in order to start back over, right?
Yeah. And you'll actually be able to give more quality time with those agents who are asking for got a minutes, because when you're talking to them, you're not still, you know, halfway in that task that you just took a break from.
Absolutely. And I promise when people do this, when they actually time block, they're going to feel better about the time that they spend. They're not going to feel like it's distracted and pulling them in a bunch of different directions. Right.
Yep. You're exactly right.
Yeah. So probably the next thing that I would say would make the most sense is, you know, what time works best for you, right? So if you're going to recruit on a regular basis, not that you can't recruit at any other time, right? So if a recruit calls you, let's be clear about this. If a recruit calls you and says, hey, you know, I talked and, you know, we connected and I really like what you're doing, all that, you're not going to say, oh yeah, I can't talk to you until next Thursday. That's not what we're discussing, right? What we're discussing is those activities that help you and other people stay focused on the things that are going to move the needle, like we talked about.
Yes.
So what you're going to do is you're going to see what times work best for you for the activities that you need. I'll give you a great example. The cards that we were talking about, me handwriting cards, if I write those later in the afternoon, early in the evening, they're terrible compared to the ones that I do first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning, I've got a much clearer head. That's a better time for me to write those cards. Absolutely, it makes all the difference in the world if I can make sure that I'm spending time on things that I think are quality at the time that my mindset is best to handle it the way it needs to be.
Yeah, do you put hearts over your eyes?
Do I put what?
Do you put hearts over your eyes?
No, I don't put hearts over. I'm not a big emoji guy. I think we all know that. And if you didn't know that, you probably could have guessed that.
The walking emoji. So we have, you know, we know what we want to track, right? We know the priorities. We know what activities we're doing, you know, how much time we're spending. Now we're talking about what time, you know, when to actually do it. And, right. And I think this is a completely different podcast. Correct me if I'm wrong, but let's touch briefly on, or the whole thing, how you're actually going to track all of this.
Yeah. So you're going to track it, not to give anything away, but because we do need to talk about this in a different podcast, because this really is, we could talk for 30 or 45 minutes just about this part. Well, you're going to track it in a way that allows you to succeed, that leads you in a more consistent direction. Okay. Yeah. So what that basically means is don't make it too difficult on how you track it to begin with, but that tracking system has to lead you into a more efficient way of doing things. Okay. And so there's applications out there that you can use. There's calendar stuff. There's extensions on, you know, calendars and Outlook and all that kind of stuff that you can use. There's entire programs that would help tremendously. You know, are you somebody that, you know, likes doing everything from your phone in your hand? Or are you somebody that likes standing in front of a computer or sitting down in front of a computer, right? All that's going to make a difference on what it is that you use in order to leverage your time the way that you need to leverage your time. So absolutely. We'll dig into that in another podcast. Okay.
Yeah, makes sense. So you want to summarize this really quick before I close this up?
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, the reason why we time block, you know, a checklist is what you do with your time. Time blocking is when you actually do it. There's two really, really smart reasons why you should time block. One is it limits unwanted distractions. And two, it gives you small victories that allow you to stay on a path of success with it. So how do you time block? One, you got to know your scoreboard. Two, you got to know your priorities when it comes to recruiting. Okay. What is it that you're actually, you know, what is it that you're doing? What are those activities that are helping you move the needle? Right. Yep. Then you got to take account of how much time you're spending on all the tasks of recruiting. Do that first. Look at it from a weekly and a daily standpoint, and then even a monthly standpoint, if you need to, depending on what your role is in it, and then determine what times work best for you, and then figure out how you're going to track it. All those things will lead you into a direction of making sure that you're using your time the best way you possibly can, and that you're consistent with recruiting, because consistency is absolutely going to be the key when it comes to trying to compound your growth.
Yeah, absolutely. speaking of consistency, at prospectboomerang.com right now, if you click on free content, we actually have, you know, a couple downloads and videos in there that are all based around consistency, and they're going to be there all the way through December. If you want to get them, nice. Download them in January. Obviously, that's how we do our monthly newsletter. You know, those things will go away. So I'm just throwing that in there. That's not by the script. Right. but anyway, guys, if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, any of those platforms, make sure you hit that follow button and follow the podcast. We really appreciate it. If you happen to be watching this on YouTube, make sure you hit that red subscribe button, that bell right beside of it, and let you get notified every time we drop a new episode. If you want to listen to all of these things in the exact same place, make sure you go to prospectboomerang.com, click on podcast, and they're all there. There's also a box on that page that says, you know, enter your name and your email address to sign up for our VIP newsletter. We'll send you monthly recruiting tips, tricks, and hacks to your inbox absolutely free. And then I'm going to remind you one more time about that free recruiting mastermind. Sign up for a free account there and join the group. Guys, we do all these things. I feel like my outro keeps getting longer and longer and longer because we're trying to add as much value as we possibly can to the listeners. We do all these things for one reason and one reason alone. Tell us why that is, Dr. Matt.
Dr. Matt, I love the sounds of that. Dr. Matt says it's all because we want to be part of their bin. We want to be part of their bin.
Dude, you're going to start putting hearts on your eyes.
I know, right? We all want to be part of their win, Ben. That's what I got it right that time.
That's awesome. All right, see you.